Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And let's look at how we know ourselves, how we function in life, and the deepest levels of consciousness, because we have many levels, and we're always operating through all of them in very specific ways of each of our personalities being so unique. And so we're going to look at that and understand this journey that we're on and how to know ourselves better, or at least appreciate ourselves better. So to do that, I've asked our friend of the show, who's been on many times, the master of the cards, Alexander Dunlop. Alexander, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. I feel like I'm living in the Energy Stew. And here we are.
That's what life is. It's a stew of energy. Mm-hmm. So what I'm interested in is exploring how we function as individuals in this world through what force of reckoning do we manage our personalities? You know, how do our personalities become known to us, other than just to watch ourselves and have people react to us and say, oh, I guess I'm that kind of person. And it's pretty vague and all over the place. So what you do with the cards, and I do, you know, I use the cards also, and human design, and you're very familiar with human design, is that we see the mechanics of how we're born and who we're born to be. And we're living it out anyway, right? We don't have to know our cards or human design to live them. But some of us want to know about it. Some of us want to understand ourselves better and then have more, let's call it will, to be a better person, to be more effective, be happier in life, right? So we want to look at these, at what's at play here to know who's asking. In other words, is it my willpower that is bringing me to want to learn about my cards? Is it my soul interested in having more information about what it was born to? Is it my just my mind, which thinks it knows what it knows? And let's start off with, I don't believe that our mind knows very much. I think our mind is fed by our unconscious and our subconscious. And then that kind of percolates up to our conscious mind and we go, oh, I get it. And so, but we can feed through that back down by, for instance, having a card reading or human design reading. We feed into our subconscious, our soul, this information, so then it guides our consciousness even better. So where is the will held? Because let's just look at the ego of our minds and think of what our minds believe that we can control. And how much can we really control? How much of our life, in a way, is, let's call it, soul programmed for this life? In other words, our souls came here with definitely with purpose to be a certain personality, live in a world that seems very uncertain, but the soul knew what it was coming here for, and to live it out in this very unique way of the mechanics of personality that we're born to, right? So we're, you know, we're kind of living, I believe we need to live multidimensionally. I really believe we need to, in a sense, surrender our minds, which are the most inadequate part of our thinking, to our souls, to our subconscious, that is really doing all the work and then just kind of feeding us, because it's been shown scientifically that actually our subconscious already has thoughts before our conscious mind does. Mm-hmm. And so our conscious mind is, you know, a second or two behind our subconscious mind. So, because for instance, how many words are you planning ahead of time? You know, or even a sentence. I see I'm a kind of a, you know, just running sentences out of my mouth that my brain is kind of letting happen. It's like, oh, that sounded good. It's not like I'm carefully thinking what I should say next, because I can't think that fast unless I really, you know, I could slow down my speaking. I could say, okay, I'm not going to speak for another minute, and then I'm going to think a lot about what I'm going to say next, or write it down and then read it. But I'm very spontaneous, and I trust my spontaneity, and I know you do too, is that we, you know, we allow that subconscious to feed our conscious mind and not be troubled by it, by saying, wait a minute, subconscious, did you really mean that? Or soul, do you really want me to say that? Don't you think I'll get into trouble? And maybe it's all perfect to begin with. So anyway, I've had a lot to say, and I see you, you know, at least smiling. So what do you feel about what I'm saying?
Where do I start? There's a lot in there and a lot of reflections and questions. One of the things that I know for sure that I've seen in my own life and in the lives of my clients is that when we find out our design, our sacred blueprint, which we can find in the cards, and there are other wonderful tools as well, like human design. I've personally found the cards to be the simplest and the easiest tool to use.
Yes.
So when, you know, we have 13 cards in our life path based on our date of birth, and what I've seen is that when we see what those are and really take them in, we are able to transcend a lower, maybe even self-sabotaging expression of those energies, a way that we would be playing them out, you know, but in a way that would leave us feeling dissatisfied or unhappy.
Less enlightened.
And I see often, and I've, you know, then this wonderful success stories of people who really were struggling, but of course they're struggling in exactly the way their cards indicate that they would struggle, playing the low variation and the low expression of those energies. And then with the consciousness of, oh, these are the patterns. And then with coaching to actually play them well, there is a very real shift that people are able to point to of transformation to playing an elevated version of the same energies.
Right.
And it's not trivial. It's not like I'm still playing my cards and it's still the same thing. It feels very different to them. And
because we become more the master of our lives.
That's right.
And yep. So that's really the point, is that, because I feel that way about my cards. It's like, you know, and I laugh at myself about them all the time, because I watch myself and go, oh yeah, that's that card. And, oh yeah, that's this card. Mm. And we even briefly joked about that before the show started. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason I have my shows, and even particularly this show, is to satisfy my four of clubs that needs that information.
And needs and wants information to be in a structured, ordered, systematic form.
Right. Yeah. So I'm always trying to make sense of things, even though it's about very esoteric subject matters usually. And so I enjoy that challenge.
And it's to be able to create a house of being. Right? That's the four energies. Build a structure. Build a structure that I can inhabit and live in.
Good. I like that idea. And, you know, it's a challenge all the time, because the four of clubs is always somebody's trying to pull the foundation out.
Well, and life shifts, and there are earthquakes, and consciousness moves, and this is Buddha's great insight, that everything is arising and ceaselessly moving. So your challenge is to be continually redefining this structure.
Right. So that's what we're trying to do here.
Yep.
In understanding the structure of how our consciousness feeds us, so we can feel more surrender to our soul's guidance.
Right. And just one, then the way that, and I mentioned this to you already, but to say it now, one of the ways that has helped me have more peace in my mind or have more surrender, as you might say, is to understand that my thoughts arise on the soil of my heart. That the club, which is the symbol of the mind in the Book of Life, which we know as the deck of cards, the club has a stem and it's a flower, it's a clover. And this flower of our thoughts grows on the soil of our heart. So it's been very helpful for me to understand why I might have some bitter thoughts or some angry thoughts. It's because my feelings are the soil that is giving rise to the kind of thoughts I would have.
Well, maybe that's, can we think of that, of our feelings, as maybe the most authentic part of us?
I don't know if most is the way, but it's independent.
Well, that's what I mean, because the rest of us is integrated into our soul process, our templates, our conscious, our unconscious, and our subconscious minds. So our thinking is not really, you know, it can think about our feelings, but we have feelings.
That's right. And our thinking grows from our feelings. Our thinking is dependent on what we feel. And so the thinking is not a pure instrument, so to speak, which we know philosophically that it's not.
Right. So thinking can't really interpret our feelings that accurately.
No. And feelings are more powerful than thoughts, and the heart is more powerful than the mind. The mind is a limited tool, and the heart is much more powerful as an instrument of knowing.
Of course you're going to say that, because you're a knight of hearts.
Well, I am, and the Institute of Heart Math would back me up on that.
Okay, good. So, but I think this is very important to understand, and something that I haven't looked at as much, and I'm just, light bulbs are going off in my brain right now as for going on, I should say, right now as we're speaking, about maybe life is a lot of integration between our minds and our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to call feelings emotions,
mm-hmm.
because emotions are limited words that box feelings.
Mm. Okay.
You know, and that's understood in the science of psychology when we speak about our emotions, we're speaking about, you know, anger or sadness or happiness.
It already has a label.
And then, you know, you kind of land on that and you can be stuck with that.
Yep.
Whereas feelings are much deeper and overlapping. Yep. And
scary to the mind.
Right.
The mind doesn't understand them, can't understand them.
Right. So, no, I think the mind knows when it's happy.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's also an emotion. So in other words, the mind creates labels about our feelings.
Yes.
And yet, so the feelings are really...
They come first. They're before the thought. And to your point before about the subconscious knows things before the conscious mind does.
Right. But... we can also have a thinking process separate from our feelings based on just the workings of our mind about the mechanics of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the feelings have to do with more drawing us to certain conclusions or understandings of things that we might not understand without those feelings.
Well, the Institute of Heart Math, which I'm not super familiar with, but it's really interesting research. They're developing technology to measure the energy field of a heartbeat. And apparently there are discernibly different pulses when the heart is beating with joy or with sadness. So there's a discernible electromagnetic difference.
Sure, you could probably ask a good acupuncturist who can feel the pulses in your wrist.
Yeah.
About the nuances.
Yeah, I remember seeing an Ayurvedic doctor years ago, and by checking my pulse, he could tell a lot about me. What I'm saying is that from my understanding, there's a lot of neurons in the heart as well. So there's a lot of kind of intelligence. There's a lot of what we would associate with intelligence in the heart and neural activity. And this is what the research indicates. And so I wonder, and this is an open question, if what we typically would label as subconscious is maybe this heart intelligence.
And yet it can be deceived by, for instance, brain chemistry, like oxytocin. And, for instance, when we become infatuated by somebody, we fall in love, for instance. Falling in love often is more species driven, because love
hormonal.
Yes, exactly, hormonal, and so can the hormones distort the heart?
The hormones are more powerful than the heart, and the hormone in the book.
Now we're getting places here.
So in the book of life, in the system of knowledge that we know of as a deck of cards, the spade is the most powerful suit, and the spade is the symbol of the pineal gland or the endocrine system, the glandular system, hormones. And these are the most powerful regulators of our human experience.
This is deep, because the pineal gland is also our access to higher consciousness.
It's one and the same. And so I would suggest, based on my understanding, that the endocrine gland and the hormonal functioning is the first expression of our consciousness.
That's the probably the deepest way that our soul is embedded in the universe.
Right. And this is Bruce Lipton's work as well, talking about how beliefs turn on hormonal signals, so that what we believe, our consciousness, turns on or turns off hormonal signals in the body.
And yet, let's talk about divine order. And thinking that, there's nothing out of place. So what it is that is influencing our genes in life was supposed to do that.
Yeah. In a way that the conscious mind can't fully comprehend.
Right. Because we're living out a journey based on these mechanics of our cards and our human design. And I always say that, you can know your human design and try to live it, but it's going to live you anyway. And life is going to bring your design to you. So,
Better to master it than have it be thrust upon you.
Well, to know about it, so when it is thrust upon you, you understand that there's a handshake between you and the rest of reality.
So who is this you that's having the handshake?
Well, a multi-dimensional you. And so we're, the you in our human bodies and our conscious minds, the you of our souls that have chosen this path, this script in life that have come into to a world that it knew it was coming into, all of these supposed surprises that are here. And to live out, the way that we need to experience it for, let's say, God to fulfill itself.
So it's like it's a handshake that brings it all together as one.
Right. And that's what all of life is evolution, creating refinement through struggle. And that's the purpose of evolution, is refinement, to bring us back to wholeness, to oneness. And so it looks crazy sometimes. Right now we're in chaotic times, but it's really that it's meant to be. And we're here to solve the problems or to not solve them in whatever ways that need to make progress.
And to have the experience of it one way or another.
Sometimes we need, you know, one step backwards to go two steps forward. And I think we're in that now. So, you know, so the idea is to understand all these patterns and to appreciate that we're here living out a particular destiny that we have chosen. And so who's in charge? Is the destiny in charge? What do you think?
You know, this is a great question. From one perspective, we chose the destiny in the first place. So we could say we chose the destiny, and then we go through a forgetting in order to be in it and actually live it from within it. That's how I look at it. And then as I started off by saying, I'm really keenly aware that there are ways that we shift our experience within the story. And we could certainly say that even that was foretold, that we would find transcendence within the story. Perhaps we could say that.
Yeah, and I want to bring up something that we spoke about earlier, and that's astrological rectification. Because that says something about life that nothing else can say. Because what it is, astrologers who are certified often have to know how to rectify charts. And the way you do that is you interview a person as to the major landmarks in their life. And then you go back through their transits, through their chart, through their life, and you'll find that each of these things were bound to happen when they happened in order to be born at a particular second in time. And they can actually, a chart rectification can bring you to the exact second in time that you were born. Because none of those landmarks in your life could have happened at any other time for you. And if they did, you wouldn't have been born. Or at least you'd be somebody else. So that says something about destiny. And, you know, we think we're making choices as to, you know, when to get married, when to have children. When people die in our life, all these are major landmarks that were actually pre-scheduled at the moment of birth.
Yes, and as we spoke about before, there's this extraordinary paradox that's been explored a lot within, let's say, Christian theology of how much is predestined versus what's free will. And there's this extraordinary paradox of how it's one and the same thing at the exact same time.
Right. So we have free will to maintain divine order.
Or it's divinely ordered for free will.
Maybe they're one and the same. And we can only have free will according to the order of the universe.
Something like that. It's maybe also like looking at inside the glass and looking out and then looking from outside in, they're two different variations of the same thing.
Well, certainly there are paradoxes, and there's a lot about reality that we can't comprehend with our simple minds.
Yeah.
But we're trying to.
for the benefit of what it gives us.
Right. So we're doing our best to be grounded in our minds, in our hearts, in our journeys, and understand them the best we can, so we can feel like we're making the right choices, even if it's a choice is only, let's say, a community decision from our soul through our subconscious or unconscious and our conscious minds.
Something like that. And I feel like it's important to bring in that The event, let's say, couldn't have been any other way. Let's say, you know, the astrological rectification of parents going to die on this day, or this tragedy might happen, or you get married then. But what I do feel like it's important to bring in, it's how we experience that or respond to that or react to that or approach that. That's where we're starting to talk about what's right. Our free will.
That's how we grow in life.
Yeah. Maybe those were, couldn't have been any other way that it happened at that time.
Right.
Yes. How do we respond to it right. though?
And also when we're looking forward, we can't really predict these events just like that by looking at an astrological chart, other than there are going to be major events at these
That's
points.
Right.
And they're flavored by the different planets. And
that's right.
So when you look back on your history, you can see, oh yeah, that's when this would have happened or that would have happened.
That's right. It's the same in the cards in the Book of Life. Every 13 years we have cycles, and there are major milestones and transition points every 13 years.
Right.
But how that manifests for us as whether it's tragic or benevolent, or you know, a wonderful transition or a terrible tragic ending, that's where I feel like our level of consciousness and mastery makes a big difference.
Well, we're not told how we're supposed to live our lives by seeing the cards. We're just shown the energies of play that we're going to have to play with.
The framework.
Yeah.
This is the framework. This is the scaffolding. Or sometimes I tell my clients, these are the building blocks, like Legos, and these are what they are. You can't change them now. You've got these Legos, but you do get to decide if you're going to build a happy marriage with these Legos or not.
I think we're going to have a lot more to talk about ongoingly, because this is fascinating, and we can even bring more detail of cards and things into it at some point. So Alexander Dunlop, can you tell our audience your website and et cetera?
Sure. Well, I started a nonprofit foundation called Life Elevated to share this ancient knowledge. It's lifeelevated.life, and you can look up your cards on the site for free. And I also wrote the book, Play Your Cards Right, A Sacred Guide to Life on Earth, and it was a bestseller on Amazon when it first came out.
Oh, that's wonderful. Alexander, thanks so much. This is so joyful for me to talk with you.
Pleasure for me too, Peter. Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much.